Today is Thursday, September 9th. What to know about another major storm hitting the U.S. and what a new study says about how many people have really had COVID-19, even if they didn't know it. Plus, which company is putting unvaccinated workers on unpaid leave. How Twitter has created its own version of Facebook groups. And what's different about the new NFL season, which starts today. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy, all the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Well, yet another large storm hit the U.S. this week. Tropical Storm Mindy made landfall in the Florida Panhandle yesterday, bringing heavy rain and strong winds to the area. This one is not going to last long, though. It's expected to impact Georgia and southern South Carolina next, but it should go back out to sea by the end of the day today. There might end up being some flooding in certain areas, and there's a threat of tornadoes. But this one is not expected to do nearly as much damage as Hurricane Ida. People are still being impacted by that one 11 days after it first hit. Most of the people who originally lost power in the storm have it back on now. But more than 260,000 homes and businesses are still without it in Louisiana. And for some of them, it could be weeks before the power comes back on, meaning no AC, lights, or refrigeration. One power company says the issue is Hurricane Ida took down more power poles than Hurricanes Katrina, Ike, Delta, and Zeta combined. Tens of thousands of electric workers have been trying to get everything working again, but sadly, the power outages are causing more people to die. Louisiana confirmed 11 more deaths this week. All in all, that brings the total death toll from Hurricane Ida up to 82. The damage estimate keeps rising as well. AccuWeather now says Hurricane Ida likely caused $95 billion in damage, making it the seventh costliest hurricane in the last two decades. Unfortunately, there has been more violence on the streets of Afghanistan's capital this week. Some of the worst of it started when a group of women protested in Kabul. They were chanting things like, "Long live the women of Afghanistan." This came just one day after the Taliban announced their hardline interim government. It's made up of only men and does not include anyone who held a leadership position in the last 20 years, ever since the U.S. and NATO removed the Taliban from power in 2001. Well, Taliban fighters broke up this week's protests by hitting the women and children with sticks and whips. They also arrested and beat several journalists who covered the events. Journalists from the LA Times say the Taliban tried to force them to delete the footage from their cameras and phones. They posted a lot of it online anyway. Now, one of the Taliban's new leaders says any further protests will be illegal unless authorities approve the location, timing, and slogans ahead of time. A special uniformed security force will be deployed in Kabul soon. Also this week, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken addressed concerns that the Taliban are blocking charter flights from leaving Afghanistan. Blinken says the U.S. is working with the Taliban to make sure people with proper documentation are still able to evacuate. As of this morning, neither the U.S. nor any other country has formally recognized the new government, and most foreign aid is on hold. It looks like a lot more Americans got COVID-19 than first thought. By the end of last year, the U.S. surpassed 20 million confirmed COVID-19 infections. But now, researchers at Columbia University say at that point, the true number was more like 100 million or more. That's just less than a third of the American population. To figure this out, they looked at people who tested positive for COVID-19 antibodies, not just those who got a positive test result. And they found a lot more people with the antibodies even before the vaccines came out. The scientists say there's two main reasons for the gaps in data. One, many cases likely went undetected because they were mild. And two, testing in general was limited, especially early in the pandemic. When researchers published the study this week, they said it highlights how important it is for people to get tested going forward. New data from the American Academy of Pediatrics shows nearly 27% of Americans who tested positive for COVID-19 just last week were children. All in all, more than 250,000 American kids tested positive. Most children do not get very severe cases, but some do. And in the last week, nearly 2,400 children were in the hospital with COVID-19. That's the highest number of childhood hospitalizations since the pandemic began. Now, health experts blame the highly contagious Delta variant and that COVID-19 vaccines are not yet authorized for kids younger than 12. Plus, most schools have in-person classes once again, and not all of them are required to physically distance or wear masks. Speaking of which, Florida's school districts are now free to keep requiring students to wear masks with official mandates. Now, this fight has been playing out in court for weeks now. Florida's governor has been trying to ban mask mandates, saying health decisions should be up to parents, not school administrators. But some parents sued, saying by not mandating masks for everyone, schools were less safe, and it should really be about how bad outbreaks are in a certain area. Well, a judge sided with the parents and this week said the mandates can stay even during the ongoing legal battle since the governor is appealing the decision. It seems government relief money kept a lot of Americans from going hungry. The USDA released a report this week that said 10.5% of American households dealt with food insecurity last year. Or in other words, they couldn't always afford enough food for their entire families. But here's the thing. That's the same percentage as back in 2019, even though 20 million people lost their jobs in 2020. So the USDA credits the bipartisan relief Congress passed and former President Trump signed last year for not seeing a big spike in the number of people going hungry. All right, we have much more news still ahead, but first we'll take a quick break to thank our sponsor, Ritual. You all know I love to cite research, and Ritual offers plenty of it. The company says more than 97% of women 19 to 50 years old are not getting enough vitamin D in their diet, and 95% are not getting their recommended daily intake of key omega-3s. So Ritual invested in research for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin, specifically designed to help fill nutrient gaps in the diets of women ages 18 and up. The results? In a study published in the scientific journal Frontiers in Nutrition, Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin was shown to increase vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in 12 weeks. It's part of the reason I feel so great about taking my Ritual vitamins as part of my everyday. I'm currently taking the postnatal vitamin, and I love knowing I'm not only getting those extra nutrients, but also the ingredients are non-GMO, traceable, and vegan-friendly, so there's no shady stuff in there. And right now, Ritual is offering my listeners 10% off your first 3 months. Just visit ritual.com/newsworthy and turn healthy habits into a ritual. That's 10% off at ritual.com/newsworthy. The Energy Department has a new goal to ramp up solar power in the U.S. As of last year, solar energy made up less than 4% of the country's electricity. Well, the Biden administration thinks we can make that 40% by 2035. The hope is to reduce pollution and stave off the worst effects of climate change. But it would also mean dramatically changing technology, the energy industry, and the way people live. Right now, the electric grid is built around coal, natural gas, and nuclear power plants. So the grid would have to be remade. Batteries, transmission lines, and other technologies would have to be added so they can soak up electricity where the sun is shining and then send it from one corner of the country to the other. In other words, it won't be cheap. It would take trillions of dollars in investments by homeowners, businesses, and the government. And as many as 1.5 million workers would have to be hired to do it. The Biden administration wants to use tax credits and other incentives to encourage homes, businesses, and utilities to use solar power systems and batteries. Congress will likely have the ultimate say in many of these potential details. But this report from the Energy Department was meant to show what's at least possible. We continue to see new policies from some major American companies that single out the unvaccinated. One of the latest, United Airlines. The airline said last month it's requiring all employees to be vaccinated against COVID-19, but would consider exemptions for religious and personal beliefs as well as medical reasons. But now it looks like those employees who don't get the vaccine also won't be getting paychecks for a while. United is putting them on unpaid leave starting October 2nd. People who interact with customers, like flight attendants, gate agents, and even pilots, will not be allowed back until the pandemic, quote, meaningfully recedes. Other workers, like mechanics and dispatchers, will be able to return to work once safety measures like regular COVID testing are in place. But if United Airlines denies a worker's exemption request, that person has 5 weeks to get vaccinated or be fired. United is taking a softer stance for workers with legitimate medical reasons for not getting the vaccine. Those employees will be put on medical leave, which is typically paid, depending on union agreements. Bill Gates may be best known for co-founding Microsoft, but now the tech billionaire is expanding his reach in the hospitality industry. He'll soon have a controlling stake in the Four Seasons hotel chain. Gates' investment company called Cascade just bought shares from a Saudi Arabian prince in a more than $2.2 billion all-cash deal. It's expected to close in January. And once it does, Gates will have a majority stake in the company. As Forbes reports, he's betting the Four Seasons will be in hot demand once business travel rebounds. The chain operates about 120 hotels and resorts around the world and is reportedly building at least 50 more. Gates has been investing in the company since 1997. There's a new feature on Twitter for people to connect with others who have similar interests. It's sort of like groups on Facebook or subreddits on Reddit. On Twitter, they'll be called communities. And just like their competitors, they'll have moderators who can set rules and invite or remove people. Already, there are communities set up about dogs, weather, space, skincare, and more. Once you're in a community, you can tweet to other members instead of just your followers. Then only members of that community will be able to like or reply to those tweets. If you want to create your own community, you have to apply on the Twitter website. Eventually, Twitter plans to put communities on the main navigation bar of its mobile app and on the sidebar of the desktop page. But the rollout still is happening, so if you don't see it on your account yet, you likely will soon. The NFL is back. The new season kicks off tonight with the reigning Super Bowl champs, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, taking on the Dallas Cowboys. A lot is changing this season, though. For starters, it's going to be the longest one in NFL history. The league decided each team will play 17 regular season games, one more than usual. Plus, fans will be back in the stands. Unlike last season, the stadiums are expected to be at full capacity, although the rules about masks and vaccinations vary depending on the venue. All right, that's it for the main news today. So now it is time for Thing to Know Thursday. But first, a quick break to thank our sponsor, Rothy's. Let's start with the research. Rothy's surveyed thousands of customers, and the number one word used to describe their shoes is comfy. And yes, I would agree, Rothy's are stylish, they're sustainable, and they are actually comfortable. I used to dread wearing shoes for the first time, but with Rothy's, you never have to break them in. Instead, Rothy's shoes are comfortable and easy to wear right out of the box. I remember getting my first pair and being super impressed. And years later, I'm still wearing them. No wonder Pop Sugar named Rothy's one of the, quote, most comfortable and cute flats you'll never tire of wearing. And just like my shoes, Rothy's newly launched men's shoes have been tested to make sure they have the perfect fit, wash after wash. Step up your wardrobe with washable, sustainable, stylish shoes and bags from Rothy's. Head to rothys.com/newsworthy to find your new warm weather favorites today. That's Rothys, rothys.com/newsworthy. Now back to Thing to Know Thursday. And today's Thing to Know is all about the explosive growth of the sports betting industry and how the sports leagues themselves are starting to embrace the trend. Now that the new NFL season is getting started, the league is allowing some sports betting companies to run advertisements during games. Even some teams like the Baltimore Ravens and the New York Jets now have deals with companies to become official sports betting partners. Also, more Americans than ever before are expected to gamble on the games. The American Gaming Association says more than 45 million people could place bets this season. That's up 36% from last year. Overall, analysts think football fans will wager more than $20 billion on NFL and college games. So why the increase? Well, laws about sports gambling have been changing quickly. You may remember it was just in 2018 when the U.S. Supreme Court opened the door for states to legalize sports betting. Then last year, it was legal in 18 states. And now sports gambling is allowed in 26 states, with even more states planning to join the list. Thank you so much for listening and making the Newsworthy part of your daily routine. We'll be back with much more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.